The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Asad Jafari.
As was announced, the topic that inshallah I will be covering will be the cultivation of an Islamic identity in a postmodern era. It's a fancy title to talk about identity, essentially. Before I get into a little bit of the muqaddamat and the preliminary discussions tonight, I do want to speak a little bit about the importance of these days and delivering the right message. There's a very powerful hadith by Imam Jawad alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahumma salli ala. Let's keep this hadith in mind when we do actually venture out and give our time to various speakers. The hadith says, "Man asgha ila natiqan faqad abadahu." For the one now who does asgha. Asgha, for lack of a better translation, is the one who listens attentively and attempts to follow what he or she has heard. Ila natiqan, from the natiq. Natiq, of course, here means a speaker. The one who listens and follows a speaker, فَقَدَ عَبَدَهُ, becomes the servant or slave of that speaker. Now, of course, I'm not talking about worshipping that speaker, but I'm talking about impact. I'm talking about the fact that there is influence there from a speaker. The hadith goes on very dangerously now. Imam Jawad breaks down the various different levels. He says, فَإِنْ كَانَ نَاطِقًا عَنِ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ عَبَدَ اللَّهِ. If the natiq, if the speaker now speaks from Allah, for Allah, on behalf of Allah, takes the audience and the awam and the majma towards Allah, فَقَدْ عَبَدَ اللَّهِ, they become the slaves of Allah. وَإِنْ كَانَ نَاطِقًا يَنْتِقُ إِلَى لِسَانِ إِبْلِيسِ فَقَدْ عَبَدَ إِبْلِيسِ. But if that speaker, if that natiq, speaks from the lisan of Iblis, from the tongue and the lahja of shaitan, presents satanic concepts on this member, meant to divide the nation, destroy homes, cut the knees of another speaker or an alim, go against the marajih, basically satanic concepts, then the people who are listening to them, who does what? Remember, man asgha. There are a lot of people, a lot of us, who not only follow lectures, but we follow certain individuals. And after a while, we begin to worship them like idols. That whatever they say is hujjat upon us for some reason. Whether it goes against a certain concept in Islam or not, but the hadith is very dangerous. If that natiq, if that speaker is speaking in a satanic lahja, in a satanic tone, then the audience, فَقَدْ عَبَدَ Iblis, becomes the slave of Iblis. It's dangerous. I have my rights that all of you have to give me as my audience to sit quietly, listen to me. But one thing I don't think is ever mentioned is that you also have rights. As the listener, as the one who now takes time out of their day, there are some couples here tonight who have brought in their newborn baby in a car seat. You know how hard that is? To get them ready, to leave, to pack the bags. You bring children now, they get home by the time I get home, it'll be midnight. My kids were fast asleep in the car last night. It is a sacrifice. It's a movement. It's not easy. Now, for you to come and listen to satanic concepts on the minbar is injustice done to you as the awam and the speaker. Which means that you also have to ensure the rights that you have are upheld by the one sitting on this very minbar. Because, this is, in the world of Arabic grammar, a minbar is an Arabic word that is ismi makan. It is a place where we should be gaining elevation. It's a place of bulandi, as they say in Urdu. Which is why when you look at the way that our fourth Imam now directs and addresses Yazid in his own courtyard, he never refers to what he's sitting on as a minbar. Takhte chubi, he says, as you say in Farsi. It's a wooden plank this man is sitting on, because there's no way what he's sitting on is a minbar of Rasul. There's no bulandi and there's no elevation coming from someone like that. Not to further fuel them. To address those issues that are mubtala bih, as they say, that are directly hitting our homes, our community, our ummah at large. And unfortunately, I only have 10 days. And there is an umpteen amount of issues to talk about. It's my discretion as a speaker now to figure out what is it that I need to address. And one thing that has come to my attention for many, many years is this crisis of an identity. You ask my elders, where are you from? What are you? Who are you? Right away, the answer is there. You ask these kids, where are you from? They'll say, what do you want to know? My parents? Where I was born? Where I grew up? What language I know? Right? 10 more questions follow that. So it is the job of the speaker on the pulpit now to ensure that those issues are addressed. Otherwise, there's no point. I'm sorry. And I mentioned that because you might think, well, this is obvious, Asad Bhai. It's not so obvious anymore. And so this is a massive topic, and one that I think that we have to identify. Islam has its own identity. And the problem is that our youth are not sold on that identity. And so they are looking now to be accepted and attach themselves to something where now they feel like they belong. Remember, inside the psyche of the human being, inside the innate nature of the human being, is a sense of belongingness. They need to belong to something. This tribalism that we've seen from the Prophet's time, even today, is very innate. But that's what it is. It is an innate gravitational pull. Allah says we did that, right? إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكْرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ. We placed you in tribes. It's fitri now to belong to each other, right? It's fitri now to have this sense of belongingness. And the moment that the youth of today feel like they don't belong to a community, to a family, to an identity, they'll go out shopping for something else. I always talk about this in my tarbiyat classes whenever I talk about bringing up children. If you want your kids to be attached inside your home, it's not my topic, but very briefly, if you want them to stay at home and be invested in that family, make them feel like they belong in that family. How do I do that? You acknowledge their existence. We have some parents, unfortunately, that the moment that a child begins to talk, they get cut off, they get shushed. Tum bas khamosh raho, tum chote ho. You have no idea what's going on. You're young. You know, meanwhile, he's a 21-year-old grown man. Full beard. What do you know? Tum to bachiyo, you have no idea. And right away, khamosh, khamosh, quiet, quiet, quiet. Silence, silence. And automatically now, he feels like, I don't belong in this tribe. And so they go around shopping for different tribes. And sometimes I tell you, the best of your kids belong to the worst of the groups. Because I know they're wrong, I know they're bad, Asad Bhai, but they make me feel like I belong to them. The moment you identify with anybody, you attach yourself to that. And that comes from an innate nature to be known. We want to be known. The moment somebody doesn't acknowledge my presence is the moment that I feel like I'm invisible. The worst thing you could do to anybody, be it your own child, is make them feel invisible in front of you. They're talking, no one's listening. They walk into this hall, they say salam to every single person, they avoid you. The second person comes, doesn't say salam to you. The third doesn't, everyone else they say salam to, but they walk right past you. After all, you have to say, hello, am I invisible? Do you not see me? So this is a crisis right now. I don't think a lot of our youth feel like they belong to the tribe of Islam. They identify with Islam. Because with identity comes a lot of beautiful characteristics. One of them is pride. There's nothing more beautiful for me than to see a young kid, 10, 12, 13, 15, that's proud to be a Muslim. That stops and says, no, my name is Muhammad, not Muhammad. It's Ali, not Ali. You can do it. Say it with me. Oh, I tried very hard to get Assad. I got Assad, I'll take that. But Assad, I couldn't take. No, say it properly. That's all part of the pride factor. Because the flip side is that if you don't identify with the deen, then any remnant of the deen inside of you, from the physical hijab, to the beard, to the name on your business card, all will not resemble Islam. We run from that as far as possible. This is a crisis we're facing right now.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Adi Alimun Hali Hakimun Mati شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.